Remain standing, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, we are going to read verses 19 through 31 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. I'll start on verse 19, you'll join me on verse 20, and we'll alternate through the chapter that way till we reach the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. By the way, we've got a big crowd over in Junior Church this morning. If you hear the door open and hear all the shouting and screaming, it's okay. It's controlled chaos, I promise you. But I'm glad it's out there and not in here. Amen. But Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 19 through 31 together. And again, let's read it responsively. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And let's finish on verse 31 together. Ready? And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for the word of God. I pray that you would still our hearts and still our minds. May we focus on the preaching of the word of God. May we receive from it what we need to help us in our life, and take it and go out and help others with it today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Folks, today I am going to preach on a topic that is neither popular nor do I enjoy preaching. It is a topic that can be offensive, especially in our socialistic, humanistic culture of the day. I am going to preach on the topic of hell. Our world is doing it all it can to stomp out absolute truth in this world. Our world is doing everything it can to get rid of truth and believe error. Error has no boundaries. Truth has boundaries. The first premise of communism, first premise of socialism, the first premise of humanism, all three are based on one thing. There are no absolutes. Well, I hate to tell the world something, but that book is absolute. God is absolute. You can deny it all you want. You can say it's there, not there, all you want. It does not change the fact there are absolutes in this world. Now, people don't want to believe in a place called hell because they will have to admit they need a savior. Man, in the first sin in Genesis chapter 3, was tempted by the devil, and the devil said, Hey, wouldn't you like to be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself? The temptation of man was so that man could be his own God. And man does not want to admit he needs God Man wants to be his own God. By the way, man's very good about believing in a place like heaven. You know that virtually every religion in the world has a place, heaven, paradise, or something very similar that they believe in? How you get there is the difference. But very few want to believe in a place called hell. Recently, I talked to a man and he said, we're living in hell on this earth. I said, brother, I hate to disappoint you. This is the best day you've got if you believe that's true. Hell is far worse than this. He said, that book, it's just a fairy tale. I said, it may be a fairy tale to you, but it's God's words. It's God's truth. And it's right. You're wrong. I said, let me ask you a question. If you're right, I'm wrong, I've not lost anything. But if I'm right and you're wrong, you've lost it all. Everybody doing okay? It's going to get a little hotter here in a minute. Man does not want to admit he is a bad enough sinner to deserve a place called hell. Can I tell you something? There is not a human being in this room, in this building, on the face of the earth that is not a bad enough sinner to deserve hell. It takes one sin to be a sinner, and one sin will take you to hell. By the way, I'll get to that in a minute. You see, man doesn't want to think he needs somebody else to help him get to heaven. Man wants to pay the price himself. Luke 16, you have Jesus personally speaking about a rich man and a beggar, and the beggar's name is Lazarus. Some may tell you that this is just a parable. Even if it is a parable, which it is not, there's no other parable recorded then that gives people's names specifically. Second of all, watch this. A parable is a truth. It's not a story. But Jesus didn't start off by saying he spake a parable unto them saying, it says, there was a man, a certain rich man, and there was a beggar named Lazarus. You see, all of the Bible is God's words. These are God's words, not man's words. Everybody doing okay? That's another problem in our society. We don't want to accept that the word of God is the word of God. Well, man wrote it. God gave the thoughts and man wrote his words. I hate to tell you, Luke did not write Luke 16. God wrote it. Luke may have been the one that took orders from headquarters and wrote it word for word as God said. It wasn't even from the memory of Luke. It was word by word given to him to put down. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There must be an every word Bible somewhere, or God's a liar. And if God's a liar, we're all going to go to hell. Truth has boundaries. Here is what Jesus said. Let me paraphrase the story. There was a beggar named Lazarus. He was a sickly man, a homeless man, had no food, and he would lay at the outside gate of the home of a rich man, and he would beg for the crumbs that fell from the table just to feed himself from the rich man's house. Some will try to tell you that the rich man was bad to Lazarus. I don't know. I know this. I know that he was there for some time. I don't think if the rich man was that bad of a person, he would have allowed Lazarus to even be there. But he did. And I think to some degree he would take care of Lazarus from time to time and maybe give him a little extra or something. I don't know. The Bible does not say. The Bible says that one day Lazarus died. And it talks about a place called Abraham's bosom. Let me tell you what that is. Abraham's bosom was before Jesus resurrected from the dead. It was a place in the heart of the earth. It was a holding area, a staging area. Let me use a term that may not be popular, but almost a pre-heaven, so to speak, that the Old Testament people that were saved went to. It was a place called paradise. It was a place called Abraham's bosom. And they would go there. You say, why were they there? Because Jesus had to come and pay for our sin. And when he was in the grave 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, that's where he was. He didn't go to the burning fiery hell. He went to Abraham's bosom. That's why when he resurrected, watch this, he took the keys of death and hell with him. He unlocked it. And the Bible says that the graves of the Old Testament saints were opened up. Can I tell you why? Because he took them with him when he went to heaven. The moment Jesus resurrected from the dead, all those Old Testament saints went to heaven. But prior to Jesus resurrecting, they were there in a place called Abraham's bosom. Now, listen to me very carefully. The Bible says that sometime later, the rich man died. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torment in hell. It didn't say that it took weeks, months, or years. It says, and he lift up his eyes in hell, being in torment. Last night, when I walked up to that fire and put a piece of wood on that fire, and the wind blew, and my hair went. Have you ever smelt burnt hair, burnt flesh? Oh, does it smell bad. It's vile smelling. It's nasty. Can you imagine waking up to the smell of millions of people burning? Being in torment? Now, it didn't take me long to move, let me tell you. I was sitting there and Joe and Ashley were sitting beside me. My wife was on this side. I was probably cutting on Joe or something. And all of a sudden, there was a spark that came from the fire and landed on my ear. Anybody that was there, my wife said, oh, by the time she got O out and she was reaching for it, I was, pow, 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 man, I flipped my glasses off. Say, why? It was starting to cut deep, amen. That was hot. Didn't take me long to want to get that, just that little bit of ember off my ear. It doesn't take much fire to make you want to move places. Can you imagine waking up in a place to where your body is consumed in fire? The Bible says that this rich man cried across this great gulf and saw Lazarus and Abraham. And he said, Abraham, could you send Lazarus to dip his finger and put just a drop of water on my tongue? Can you imagine being in so much pain that one drop would be a comfort? I don't know about you. When I drink water, I don't want a drop. I can't imagine being in so much pain that I would beg for one drop of blood. Huh. Think of the irony here. The beggar on earth was in heaven. The rich man is now begging water from the beggar. Not only is he tormented, but he's been humbled enough to have to beg. My friend, I do not like the topic of hell. I do not like the thoughts of people dying and going to a place called hell for eternity. There is no relief. There is no end. There is no comfort. And there is no hope. You die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will spend an eternity in this place called hell. You say, I just don't believe that. That's between you and God. I just have to tell you what the truth is. Yes, sir. I can't force anybody to go to heaven, but I can tell them what the truth is. You see, I don't like the thought of any human being suffering that much. There is not a person on the face of the earth that I believe should just die and go to this place called hell. I think everybody deserves the gospel and find out how they don't have to spend eternity there. I've given my entire life to this. I believe it so much that I have given my entire life so that people don't have to die and go to hell. The rich man begins to talk to Abraham. He says, well, Father Abraham, if you could just send Lazarus to put a drop of water on my tongue. He said, I can't. There's a great gulf between us. And if you could come from there to here, you can't do it. And those of us that would like to help you cannot leave here and go there and help you. He said, well then, if that can't be, would you send Lazarus back to the earth and have him go and tell my five brothers how to miss this place? Abraham said, can't do that. They have the same opportunity you have. They have to decide for themselves whether they'll listen to the truth or not. But I want you to notice something that was said. He said, between us and you. Between us and you. That is the title of my sermon today. Between us and you. Between heaven and hell. There are some things between heaven and hell that God is trying to teach us here in Luke 16. Let me say this before I go any farther. Hell was not created for man. Hell was never intended for man. Hell was created before man was created. When Lucifer was in heaven as an archangel and he sinned, Isaiah chapter 14, and he wanted to take over God's throne, God created a super torture chamber for Lucifer and the angels that followed him, and it was called hell. And God commissioned those angels and Lucifer to that place of eternal torment, eternal torture called hell. Matthew chapter 25 verse 41 says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, how can a loving God send anybody to hell? God does not send them. Man chooses to go there. You see, that penalty was established before man was created. Watch this. When man committed the same sin that Lucifer committed, God's justice requires the same penalty. God would not be just if he let man go and let the devil suffer punishment. That's why God said, don't do this. In the day you do, thou shalt surely die. Wow. Can I tell you how much God loved man? He didn't send Jesus for the devil and his angels, but he did send Jesus for you. God made a way for man not to have to go to this awful torture chamber called hell. God doesn't send anybody there. Man chooses to go there. God made a way to escape the fire of hell, but the devil's trying to deceive you into thinking, well, it's just not really there. Well, I hate to tell you something. I don't care how proud man gets. The word of God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Did you know that man tries to choose his own way to get to heaven? Well, I can live a certain way in my lifestyle. Hopefully the good will outweigh the bad. Did you know if you're found guilty of a crime, you have no right to tell the judge how to sentence you? You can plead for mercy. But guess what? If you tell the judge, well, yeah, I murdered somebody, but you don't have to punish me. I'll make sure the rest, I didn't kill somebody every day of my life. I've had more good days than I had bad days. You wouldn't punish me for that, would you, judge? Did you know that the convicted has no right to tell the judge how to punish? Do you know when my children were little and they needed punished, they didn't tell mom and dad how to punish them? We told them how they were going to be punished. Everybody doing all right? You see, man has no right to tell God how we're going to get to heaven. We are to follow what God said to get to heaven. Hell is a place of eternal fire. Hell is a place of total darkness. Hell is a place of eternal falling. Hell is a place of bitterness and anger. Hell is a place that is the total opposite of the presence of God. Hell is a place void of love. Hell is a place of eternal suffering and pain. Hell is a place of memory that will haunt. Hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And hell is a place that no human being in this universe wants to be. I could take you for an hour and show you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture to back what I just said. Today, I want to show you what's between heaven and hell. I want to show you what our responsibility is in this place between heaven and hell. Number one, there's a great gulf between heaven and hell. There is a great gulf between heaven and hell. Can I tell you what created that gulf? It's something called sin. Sin created this gulf between heaven and hell. The first sin was by Lucifer in heaven. And that gulf was created by him. But when we chose to sin, by the way, it wasn't just Adam, it's you and I. Bible says we're all sinners. There's not a person on the face of the earth that's not a sinner. Proof you're a sinner, we're all going to die. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have to understand something. Sin caused that gulf. Sin caused that separation between God and the devil. Sin caused that separation between God and man. And there was a gulf that was created because of that. Did you know that God did not want that gulf between God and man? It is an eternal gulf that cannot be crossed. Do you know that if you die without Jesus Christ, you will not have a chance to get to heaven? It's over. See, that gulf is a judgment by God that was predetermined before the foundation of the world when Lucifer sinned. It is total separation from God forever. See, watch this. When man sinned, God could not fellowship with man. He came down to the garden and said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, we're hiding because we did wrong. And God had to make a penalty and put a covering on man's sin. And I believe Jesus gave the gospel to Adam and Eve, and they got saved that day. And God made them coats of skin. Watch this. Blood was shed so that their sin could be covered. The sacrifice of that animal did not wash their sin away. It was a picture of what Jesus was going to do at Calvary for you and I. Not a sacrifice in the world ever got anybody saved. But it was a picture of what Jesus would do. It is total separation from God. The fire, bad enough. The falling, pretty bad. All of the bad things of hell are pretty rough. But can I tell you something? Can you imagine something that is the total absence of the presence of God? We think earth's pretty bad. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have Christians here, and we have the presence of God's Word. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when that's not here? And then you take away the entire presence of God in a place called hell, it's going to get real bad. So number one, there's a great gulf between heaven and hell. Number two, there's life and death between heaven and hell. Did you know that there is life and death between heaven and hell? You have this life to prepare for eternity. That's it. This life is your preparation for heaven. I get this question asked of me often. Well, what if a child, a little baby passes, or there's a miscarriage and the child passes? That child automatically goes to a place called heaven. That child never had the chance, never came to the acknowledgement of truth to understand right from wrong, and God's justice would allow that child to be in heaven. Every one of those 55 plus million murdered babies through abortion are in heaven today. Every one of you ladies that has lost a baby or miscarried a baby, that baby is in heaven today. See, God made that. That's justice. You can't hold something over someone who does not understand it. If you were speeding, sir, and your family was in the car, the police officer doesn't come up and write your children a ticket because they're sitting in the car because you were speeding. You say, that's kind of stupid. You're right. And God's not going to do any different either. He's not going to write a death sentence on a child that doesn't have the ability to even drive. Everybody understand that? Because man chose to sin, we cannot live forever here on earth. God made us to live forever. But our sin caused that gulf and created that death process. That gulf was started by our sin, and we have this life to get ready for the next. Death is a result of sin. Let me say that again. Death is a result of sin. But I hate to tell you something, there are two deaths. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verse number 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There are two deaths, one of the body and one of the spirit. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Someone who is not sure of heaven, someone who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, has a dead spirit. When man sinned in Genesis chapter 3, his body didn't die right away. His soul didn't die. Your soul is your personality, that ability to communicate with each other. But that spirit is what died right away. That's why Jesus in John chapter 3, when he talked to the rich young ruler named Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. It wasn't that his body had to be born again. Nicodemus said, wait a minute. You mean I got to get back in my mama's tummy and be born again? Mama ain't going to like that, amen? And I don't think it would be very good for Nicodemus either. Can I tell you something? Jesus said, no. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born by the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. And he said, ye must be born again. That birth is not a water birth like you would have at a physical birth. He said it is a spiritual birth, and you have to have your spirit reborn, or it will burn forever in a place called hell. Now listen to me very carefully. Death doesn't need to be feared if you're saved. Death has no fear on you if you're saved. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not afraid to die. But I'm not looking for the next trip there, just so you know. I don't want to hurt when I do it, that's for sure. I can't tell you that something new doesn't have a little bit of frightfulness to it. I used this recently. Dr. Hudson had prostate cancer and ended up going to heaven because of it. Just a couple weeks before he passed from this life to the next, one of my preacher friends asked him and said, Doc, are you afraid to die? He said, don't know. Haven't done it yet. I kind of like that answer. We don't have to be afraid of death. Can I tell you what death is? My dear friend and pastor of yesteryear, Brother Hiles, said it this way. Death is the scaffolding on the building. Once it's removed, we get to see the real structure. This life is just the scaffolding building for the next life, which is eternity. Folks, life and death stand between heaven and hell. That means what we do in this life determines what happens in our eternity. You see, you don't have to be afraid to die. Now, I'll be honest with you. Somebody walks in that door right now with a gun and starts shooting, I'm ducking. If he gets close enough, I won't tackle him and try to protect as many as I can. I do like what Ben Carson said. Let's quit being wimps, and if there's a group of people there, somebody got to stop that feller. Quit being a sitting target. And hopefully some of you that are packing can take care of it before we have to duck. Amen? Can I tell you something? I can't tell you I'm looking to be the next martyr for Jesus. But I'm not afraid of it if I have to be. What can they do? Somebody was trying to rob Dr. John R. Rice one day, and the guy walked up and said, give me your wallet or I'm going to blow your brains out. And he had his gun pointed in his belly. And Dr. Rice was an older man. He said, sir,
My brains aren't down there.
Guy put his gun away and walked away. He said, you can't threaten me with heaven. You can't threaten me with heaven. Can I tell you something? To those of us that are saved, the worst thing that happens is we stay here. Say, well, what if somebody I know dies? If they're saved, they're in heaven. Let's quit complaining. Will we miss them? Yes, we will. Are we going to grieve? Yes, we will. But we don't have to fear. We know where they are. Heaven is separated by a gulf, and that gulf is life and death, and that life and death was created by sin. Number three, I'm about to shout. Jesus is between heaven and hell for mankind. Jesus is between heaven and hell for us. Say, why did they hang him on a tree? Because he hung suspended between heaven and hell. He had lived a perfect life. He had been born of a virgin. He didn't have man's blood. He had God's blood. He had eternal blood, but he had to put on a robe of flesh that could die because his heavenly body couldn't die. Bible didn't say he came to earth to be man. John chapter 1 verse 14 said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He wrapped himself in a body and lived a perfect life in our body so that he could take that perfect blood, shed it at Calvary, be in the grave 3 days and three nights, conquer death, resurrect, and pay for our sin. By the way, it didn't stop there. He went back to heaven and placed his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Dr. John MacArthur is wrong when he said the blood of Jesus trickled to the foot of the cross and still there today. Jesus was our high priest and took the blood that he had from his own body and placed it on the mercy seat in the tabernacle in heaven, the true tabernacle according to the book of Hebrews. Say why? Because that's where he sits next to the Father and says, it's under the blood. It's on the mercy seat. It's under the blood. It's been forgiven. God, you have to forgive Bob Kellerman. It's not there anymore. I took care of it. And God looks at the devil and says, what sins are you talking about? It's not there. Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you why? It's by the blood. Jesus is between heaven and hell for us. Not only that, Hebrews chapter 12 says that Jesus authored our plan of salvation. Says that he is the author and finisher of our faith. Not only did Jesus pay the price, but before he paid it, he said, Father, before you create man, if he does what the devil does, here's what's going to happen. I'll go to earth, be born of a virgin, and I'll live a sinless life, and I'll shed my blood at Calvary, and I'll resurrect from the dead and bring the blood back here and pay for it, because you love man so much, I'll take care of that penalty for them if they disobey. And Jesus says he authored it. Guess what? You don't author it by saying it, you author it by writing it. And it was written before man was created. Now listen to this. The only way to heaven is by Jesus' way, not man's way. If we could get to heaven by man's way, there'd be many different ways to get there. I don't care if you got a $500,000 grapefruit on your head and they call you El Papa and you dress like El Mama. It's not the church's way, it's God's way. It's not through the baptistry. Amen. By the word baptized means to immerse. You don't get baptized by sprinkling. I'm not going to do it the Methodist style, but you don't get baptized by pouring. You get baptized by being immersed. When you get buried, they don't take a handful of dirt and throw it in your face and say, okay, you're buried. They don't even take a bucket and pour on your body from head to toe. What do? They dig a hole and put you in. They cover you. That's what the word baptism means. You're to be covered. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven is by Jesus, because that's the only way God could be just. Did you know that you could only go the way of Jesus Christ? Look this way. You can only go the way of Jesus Christ because that's the only way it's consistent. Well, what about this church? And what about that church? And what about this religion? What about that religion? No, what about what God says? I've said this over and over and over and over thousands of times. If this represents the church and this represents what God says, throw that away and take what God says. If that's contrary to that, that's wrong, that's right. Period. See, we've got to have that final authority. We've got to accept God's final authority, which is the Word of God. You can't earn heaven on your own merit. Say why? Because you're a sinner, just like me. There can only be one way to heaven. And everybody has to go the same way. Say why? Because it's for all man. If God made it different for me than he did for Malachi, and different for Malachi than he did for Jeff, and different for Jeff than he did for Evan, can I tell you something? There's no consistency, and God cannot be just. You don't enforce laws just because it's an inconvenience to you. There should be nobody exempt from the law. I don't care what their title is. Everybody doing all right? So there's a great gulf between heaven and hell. There's life and death between heaven and hell. And there is Jesus Christ between heaven and hell. But watch this. This is really the whole point of the message today. There are people to get the gospel out to people who are lost between heaven and hell. We call it soul winning. You see, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse number 29, Abraham's, verse 28, "For I have five brethren that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, my father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Did you know between heaven in hell stands you and I, and we're to tell people how to miss hell and go to heaven? Amen. God said it's our responsibility. I wonder how many people in this room know somebody that's in hell right now and is begging God for you to listen and submit to the gospel so you don't have to die and go to hell today. I'll be honest with you. I do not like preaching on hell. I don't enjoy it. As a pastor, as being in the ministry for the last 26 years, I've been with many, many, many people as they leave this earth. Hundreds of people I've watched die. I've seen some of the sweetest things take place when a Christian dies. Some of the sweetest experiences of life. And let me tell you, some of the most haunting things is when somebody dies and goes to hell. I witnessed to a man that was dying one day, literally was on oxygen to keep him alive. I had witnessed to him. He was still in his right mind, gasping for air. I called him by name and I said, "Would you just trust Jesus Christ?" He said, "I will not do it if God won't take me as I am." I said, "He will." He said, "No, by what I've done, I'm trusting." And at that time, it was the Catholic Church. He said, "I'm trusting what the Holy Father said to me." And I mean, within moments, he said, "Oh my God, I'm on fire. I'm in hell. He began to scream. There were people running everywhere. And as he left this earth, he was screaming because he was on fire. And I watched that man die and go to hell. I'll be honest with you. That was 24 years ago, and it still haunts me. I've seen it too many times. Once is too many. But I've seen it several times. But I've been with people who knew they were going to heaven. I was with a lady passing one day, she said, "Brother Bush, would you hold my hand?" And there was her family there. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Can we sing?" I said, "You can. I don't think you want to hear me sing." She said, "No, let's all sing." We began to sing, "Oh, they tell me of a place far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a land far away." And as we were singing, she said, "Can you see it?" She said, "Brother Bush, can you see it?" I said, "No, ma'am, but I believe you can." She said, "Can you see so-and-so?" I said, "No, but I believe you can." And in a few moments, that dear lady, as we sang around her bed, she closed her eyes and her Savior met her. Whew. It was so sweet. I got to tell this. When I was an assistant pastor in South Carolina, little Johnny Ryan, he was a special needs boy. He said one word in the 13 years he lived, "Mama." The only word he could say. Lived in a wheelchair. He was horribly special needs. He was deformed and he just had a hard time. But Johnny was my buddy. Johnny would hear my voice and he would and get really excited, animated almost. Johnny was my buddy. Johnny loved brown paper bags. That's what he played with in his wheelchair. Hey, Johnny was real bad sick. They had done surgery, were going to do surgery. They opened him up, and everything from the diaphragm down had stopped working. He was dead from here down. They closed up the stomach area and left his chest open and left a tube in there to drain out what they could infection-wise. They had blood running in, and I literally mean this, anywhere blood could run out of that little boy's body, blood was running out. His mama and daddy, Dennis and Pauline, called me and said, "Brother Bush, Johnny's dying." They cared for him every moment of his life. They said, "We know he's going to heaven, but we can't be there. Just can't stand to watch him pass, but we don't want him to be alone." I said, "I'll be there in a few moments." Leanne, I drove down to Roper Hospital in Charleston. I walked into that intensive care ward. There lay his body. I looked up, and his pulse and his blood pressure was, I think it was 42 over 28, his blood pressure. I mean, he was just barely there. I began to stroke Johnny's hair. And I said, "Johnny, this is Brother Bush. I said, in a little while, you're going to be in heaven. I said, in just a little while, you spent your whole life watching everybody else run. And you're going to take your first steps. I said, Johnny, you've watched everybody else play ball. And you're going to get a ball thrown at you as soon as you get through that gate. I said, Johnny, you haven't been able to talk. But when you get there, Jesus is going to meet you. And you're going to get to talk to the one who made you." And there was a nurse in there. She said, Reverend, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I said, "I'm talking to Johnny about going to heaven." She said, "No, look. I turned around. She's grabbing doctors. His blood pressure had about doubled in that little 60-second period there. All of his stats, his heart rate started climbing. His blood pressure started climbing. Two doctors ran in and are looking and saying, "We don't understand this." And I leaned over his body and I said, "Johnny, you got doctors and nurses in here. And they don't know what going to heaven's like. And we're going to show them." And I gave the gospel to those four doctors and nurses standing beside his bedside. Three of them got saved. One was already saved and had a party. By the time I got done winning those people to Christ, his blood pressure is 110 over 60. I'm not kidding. I said, "Okay, you all ready?" They said, "For what?" I said, "Watch this." I said, "Johnny, now that they're going to heaven, it's time for you to go there." And I prayed. I promise you, 3 minutes later, Everything just stopped. I didn't tell the family what happened. I got to speak at the funeral. I told that story at the funeral. You know how many people got saved because of Johnny Ryan? It was amazing what God did. Can I tell you something? There's nothing to be afraid of if you're saved. I watched little Johnny Ryan go there. I've watched precious saints of God go there, but I've watched people die and go to hell. And let me tell you, first-hand information, it's real. It's real. We have the truth. You know, I can't make anybody get saved. All I can do is present them the truth. It's you that have to decide whether you'll trust it or not. If I could get saved for you, I would. If I could get saved for Osama bin Laden, I would have done it, because I don't want anybody to go to a place called hell. I don't care how bad they've been. God loves them, and Jesus Christ died for them. Can I tell you something? I don't want anybody in this room to ever die and go to hell. But let me ask you a question. Who will be in heaven because you gave them the truth? Who will die and go to hell because you're too afraid to give them the truth? Or you won't give them the truth? I wonder who will die and go to heaven or hell based on what you're doing with your life. Lazarus said, please go back and tell my brother, the rich man said, send Lazarus to go back and tell my brethren. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have the same opportunity as you did in your lifetime. Folks, it's our job to go out and tell everybody we can the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who will have a chance to miss hell because of you? Who will have a chance to go to heaven because of you? By the way, God's already done his part. Now it's our job. You stand between heaven and hell for someone. Well, I don't know who it is. You can't tell the wrong person. Yes, sir. Do you know you can't tell the wrong person the gospel? Right. Well, what if they're saved already? They'll rejoice with you and tell you they're saved, and then you go find somebody else. Maybe you'll give them the courage to go out and tell somebody else. God loved man more than he loved the devil. When the devil sinned, God didn't send Jesus Christ to pay for the devil's sin. God sent Jesus Christ to pay for man's sin. God loved you that much. Would you be willing to accept his way to heaven? It's not joining a church, not being baptized. Realizing you're a sinner, realizing because you're a sinner, you deserve hell, like every one of us, including this preacher. But that Jesus Christ came and paid your sin debt for you. He paid it all in full. Past sin, present sin, and future sin. It's all cared for. And so all you have to do is say, God, I've been trusting myself to get there, but I'll trust what Jesus Christ and that alone to take me to heaven. The moment you do that, you're on your way to heaven. The Spirit of God is reborn inside your spirit, and that is what the born-again process is all about. The lights aren't going to flash. You're not going to lay on the floor and flip and flop like a fish out of water. Not necessarily going to be a feeling, except you're going to be born again and on your way to heaven. Well, what if I don't know that I was sincere enough? If you're willing to submit to what God said, that's all the sincerity you need. Because God has given to every man the measure of faith. Well, I don't have that kind of faith. God put into every human being enough faith to get saved. Matter of fact, you don't even have the faith to get saved. God gave it to you. It's so free, God even gave you the faith necessary to get it. God has given to every man the measure of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Father Abraham, please, just a drop? Nope, there's a great gulf. There's a great gulf between us. Jesus is between that gulf. Death and life are between that gulf. And you and I are in telling other people so that they don't have to die and go to hell, so that they can go to heaven. Let me ask you a question. Are you doing your part? Have you ever been born again? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'll say it again. I don't enjoy this topic. It pricks my soul. You're just one of those old hellfire damnation preachers. I am because I'm supposed to be, not because I want to be. I love people so much, that's why I'm out knocking on doors telling folks how they don't have to die and go to hell. Let me ask you a question. Who will be in heaven because of you? Who won't hear the gospel because of you, though? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Please, no moving. Give everyone the respect they deserve. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ and that alone to take me to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, I won't embarrass you. I won't embarrass you just like I didn't embarrass these others. I won't come to you. I promise I will keep my word. I will not embarrass you. But who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? All right. Who'd say, preacher, I just have not been doing my part telling others. Something in that sermon today is what I needed. And I've got to tell others about him. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put your hands down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. As the music begins to play, if you raised your hand and said, I need to tell somebody, maybe you need to come to this altar and tell the Lord who it is, or maybe you don't know who it is, but that you're going to do it. Just tell the Lord. You don't have to tell me. If you've been saved and you've never made it public or never been baptized, we can take care of that today. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ and you're unsure of heaven when you die, can I tell you something? You just step out. We'll take the Bible and show you in just in a moment how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven.